Understand God's Will for My Life by Jim Harper. Chapter 4. I Was Made to Know God's Grand Plan.
When God gave us free will, He knew we would be tempted, and He also knew we would sin. When God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and told them not to eat from the tree of good and evil, and then Satan convinced Eve that it would be okay to eat the apple from that tree, this was Satan's first successful deception of the human race. That is when God transferred the authority of the earth over to Satan, and Satan has been deceiving us ever since. But God knew this would happen. God is bound by His word. When God delegated the earthly realm over to Satan, it allowed Satan to go on his manhunt. This is why there is so much pain and suffering in our world today. This is because Satan and his fellow demons have control over the world in which we live, to deceive us, to hurt us, and to try and destroy us. Satan knows that he has been defeated because he saw Jesus' victory on the cross, but he still has some time to try and bring some humans to hell with him. You know, God knows all about Satan because God created Satan. Satan is one of God's highest angels gone bad. God gave Satan so many incredible powers that Satan wanted to be God, but he couldn't. Job taken. So Satan rebelled. He rebelled by doing whatever he could to convince other angels to follow him, and he did just that. He convinced about a third of God's angels to follow him, and since Satan can't destroy God, well, next in line is you and me. Satan is out to destroy humans because we were created in God's image. So, with Satan having the ability to deceive humans all over the world and the ability to lead us down his dark path, and with humans having free will and an attitude of, I'll do whatever I please, what could possibly go wrong? Wow, kind of a bad combination, isn't it? This is a little bit like professional baseball players playing against little leaguers. Not much of a contest. Satan is also an eternal spirit, which means Satan will be around forever and can deceive humans for eternity if allowed to. Oh boy, this is really bad. Humans are so easily deceived, and Satan is so cunning, that Satan might just deceive the entire human race. How many little leaguers ever win a baseball game against professional baseball players? Well, not many. Okay, none. It really isn't that hard to deceive humans. Simply convince humans to satisfy the flesh, and there will be no consequences. Convince humans that we can violate God's standards and nobody will ever know. Convince humans that having more things will make us happier. Convince humans that if we don't like what we have, well, just throw it away and start over, including marriages, kids, relationships, and so much more. Convince humans that it's all about us, and just don't worry if it might hurt others. And especially, send people to us that have great-sounding opinions and try to deceive us into thinking that their opinions make the violations of God's standards okay. Basically, give Satan free rein over the entire human race and let him have a field day with all of the people that he can deceive. But don't ever tell humans about the destruction that will be left in their wake when they sin. The suffering, the sorrow, the agony, the broken relationships, and despair. And surely don't tell humans that God's protection will be removed when they sin, because God is holy and He can't help sinful people. God will allow us to reap what we sow. So this is pretty much the perfect scenario for Satan. Let Satan deceive humans. Humans listen. Humans get hurt? Well, Satan tells humans that God has abandoned them. Humans not smart enough to understand why they are suffering. They can't connect the dots. Satan absolutely loves it when humans live in ignorance of God and His standards. Well, the angels that Satan convinced to follow him, we call these bad angels demons, because their agenda is to destroy. They are demonic, which means evil. Satan hates God so much that Satan will do everything he can to deceive and destroy anything and everything that is made in the image of God. You know, we can't see these demonic angels because they are spirits, but these spirits are everywhere, and their goal is to destroy us. Just turn on the news and see how successful they are. You'd have to say they are pretty successful. You can't watch the news for even 1 minute without seeing how Satan and his minions are busy destroying something and everything. You know, that's why every time a human being does something that hurts others or themselves, Satan is off in the corner saying to himself, "Yay, I got another one." Satan hits the jackpot when he deceives a person to kill himself while at the same time killing others in the name of, well, just pick a word, they've all been used. When this happens, Satan is ecstatic that God's creations are being killed on both sides. But God knew this would happen, and he had a plan. Yes, a perfect plan. You know, we learn that God is spirit and spirits are invisible. So who was visible and walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden shortly after Adam sinned? Well, it was probably Jesus. It was probably not God the Father because of what Jesus told us. Remember in Genesis where it says, "Let us make mankind in our image"? Well, the "our" in this verse refers to God the Father, God's Son Jesus, and God's Holy Spirit. So when God said, "Let us make mankind in our image," they were all present when mankind was created. Well, this means it could have been any one of them who was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But since it has been primarily Jesus who has been God in bodily form while on earth, it was most likely Jesus who was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the garden. Jesus has always been God's representative on earth, appearing for him and as him. It is clear in Scripture that Jesus and God the Father are one. So isn't it ironic that Adam and probably Jesus were together in the Garden of Eden when Adam started the downfall of the human race through his sin, and Jesus was there at the exact same moment to save the human race through his plan, same time, same place? Well, these two events had to happen at the same time in the Garden of Eden, otherwise God made a mistake. But God doesn't make mistakes. This means that God knew what would happen in the garden, and he knew he had to have a plan in place at the moment that Adam sinned to save us from our sins. This also means it was probably Jesus in the garden who knew at the very moment that Adam sinned that he would need to die for us. At the very second there was sin, there was a solution. At the very moment that Adam sinned, Jesus presented him as our Savior. It was all part of his plan. Well, this incredible plan in the garden also means that every baby born into the world today already has a Savior. A baby does not come into the world bearing the condemnation of sin, but through God's love and his grace and Jesus' plan and his death on the cross, the baby is saved. The baby doesn't have to do anything to get into heaven. It is only when the child starts to knowingly sin that he will need to ask for God's forgiveness through his faith in Jesus to be saved. You know, God knew what he was doing. Jesus wouldn't defeat Satan and sin until he died on the cross, but the game was in the bag. His rescue plan had been launched. Jesus knew that he couldn't come to earth to be the sacrifice for our sins anytime soon, because he still needed to give us his Ten Commandments for a reason. And then, after he gave us his Ten Commandments, we would need hundreds of years to learn that we couldn't possibly keep his commandments. We needed to learn that we couldn't do it. The commandments needed to convict us and make us fully aware that we were doomed. We had to learn that we couldn't possibly live without sinning and that we all deserved to go to hell. We had to learn that we needed a Savior. Well, God's plan in the garden also means that Adam and everyone who has lived after Adam has not been left for even one second under the penalty of sin and condemnation. At the very moment that Adam sinned, Jesus was there to save us from our sins. But there's only one caveat, and it's an important one. We need to believe in him. We need to believe that Jesus came to earth to save us from our sins. It is the perfect plan, developed by a perfect God and executed to perfection by Jesus. We just need to believe. This perfect plan solved the problem of a race, the human race, under condemnation and in dire threat of total destruction. Jesus' plan in the garden forever changed the condemnation that Adam, through his sin, gave to every single one of us. So God knew that Satan would rebel, and God also knew that Adam would sin. But even knowing all of this, God still created them, because the fall of mankind and Satan's rebellion is all part of God's sovereign and grand plan to manifest His glory. This means that our free will and our sinning is the means by which God's glory and His will is carried out. Jesus' death on the cross is the central component of God's grand plan. Well, this also means that Satan serves God's purpose. Satan is cunning, but he isn't wise. He can't figure out how to counter God's perfect plan. Satan's effect to destroy you and me actually produces the opposite effect. You know, God knows that people will draw closer to Him when suffering comes into their lives, which means our suffering, while inflicted by Satan, is allowed by God. So because of Satan's opposition to God, we will be blessed, and Satan's objective to destroy us will be in vain. Through Satan's efforts to destroy us, God gains a more intimate relationship with each of us, which is exactly what He wants. Well, this shows the important role that Satan plays in God's grand plan. God uses Satan and sin to achieve His ultimate purpose. The creation of Satan and his opposition to man is an important element of God's plan. Satan's power is given to him by God. God's providence is what allows Satan to do what he does. Satan has power to affect us, but only by how much God allows. The fact that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden does not mean that God is the author of sin, nor does it mean that He tempted Adam and Eve to sin. God also uses Satan to bring about His divine discipline. Satan is allowed to do only what God has planned for His glory and our good. Through Satan's opposition to God's instruction manual, God's purposes are fulfilled. After we suffer from our sin and disobedience, God always restores us and makes us strong, firm, and steadfast. Well, this means our suffering is used to produce humility and a dependence on God. All of this means that the harder Satan works to oppose the gospel, the more he actually promotes it. God has purposed Satan's existence and his opposition to fulfill God's grand plan. In everything that Satan does, he is actually serving God. Well, think about it. The glory of God is actually declared by allowing sin in the world. Number one, having sin in the world allows for God's mercy and His compassion. Well, number two, it allows God to show His love and His forgiveness of our sins. Number three, it allows God to show His righteousness and His wrath to those who deny Him. And through Satan, it shows that God doesn't leave the guilty unpunished, just like any good court system. You know, wrath and mercy highlight God's glory, and you can't have either without the fall of mankind. God is actually glorified by condemning the guilty to hell. Our courts would not be legitimate if they didn't condemn a murderer to a long prison sentence. So our courts are glorified. They are made legitimate by their accurate sentences of people who abuse the law. Well, God's wrath is also justified, and God is glorified when He provides for man's forgiveness and man rejects it. This means that behind Satan and all of Satan's unrighteous deeds is a holy, righteous, but also compassionate God who causes all things to work for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. God knew what He was doing. This was His plan from the very beginning. He chose to allow sin and suffering in the world because He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to know His will. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to have faith in Him. He wants us to follow His standards. If we do all of these things, He will bless us. You know, allowing us to be tempted by Satan and then allowing us to experience the hurt that follows our sinful desires draws us closer to God. God may even allow you to become totally broken because He loves you that much. As you learned in an earlier chapter, we should feel blessed when God disciplines us because it means He loves us. If He didn't love us, He wouldn't discipline us. Our trials and our suffering is the means by which our faith is proven. So basically, our suffering is the means by which God perfects us, strengthens us, and molds us into the creation He can use. which will make us steadfast. The very same trials that Satan puts us through to destroy us, God turns into good. Do you remember in an earlier chapter that Satan must first ask Jesus before he can tempt you? This is part of God's grand plan to build your faith in Him and to glorify God. Yes, you can know God's will. In fact, God wants you to know His will. Knowing God is why we were born. It's the nature of our existence. There is not a single one of us that just appeared on earth without a plan and a purpose. God chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In Him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. But to know God, you must repent of your sins and believe that God sent His Son Jesus to die for your sins. When you commit and become a believer in Jesus, you are marked in Him with a seal, and God's Holy Spirit will live within you. It is the Holy Spirit who will be your advocate, who will help testify about God. The Holy Spirit will also teach you all things and remind you of everything that Jesus promised. Many people live for a very long time, but they don't understand why they were born. Well, the answer is to know God. God created you to know Him. When we awaken from our slumber, and a lot of people are still in this slumber, we can awaken from Satan's deceptions and start to understand God's will for our life. When you understand this, your life will begin. You'll be at peace. You can have joy. Your search for the meaning of life will be over. Your grandiose expectations of what life should be about, false as it may be, will disappear. You'll be free. And this will allow you to enjoy who you are and also enjoy the process that you will go through. It will be an exhilarating ride, so hold on. God will set you free due to His grace alone. There's no loans to repay, no obligations, no duties, no payments, no offerings needed. There's no work to be done. There's nothing that you must do to get to heaven. It's all been done for you. You simply need to accept Jesus' free gift, and then you can start enjoying the reason why you were born, which is to know God. And when you know God, He promises to take care of you. He promises to give you the desires of your heart. Can you say, sign me up? The great thing about knowing God is that there is no effort. There is nothing you must do. Jesus did everything for you on the cross. Everything. When Jesus died on the cross, Satan's defeat was complete. You know, and Satan knew it. This was the plan that was put in place at the beginning of time, started in the garden, and completed when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Jesus defeated Satan and He defeated sin. And through both of these, God's glorified. The very moment that Jesus died on the cross, the huge and heavy curtain that separated people from the inner sanctuary in the Jewish temple was torn from top to bottom. God ripped it. With Jesus' death on the cross, God's plan was complete. And for everyone who believes that this was God's ultimate plan, Jesus' death on the cross removed the human barrier that used to exist between God and man. By ripping this huge curtain, God was telling us, you are no longer on the outside. My Son Jesus has made a way for you to have direct access to Me. Come on in. With this curtain gone, you no longer need to go through anyone to reach God. There's no people, there's no rituals, there's no barriers, no specific building, nothing is in the way. You can talk to God right now, right this minute, wherever you are. Remember, your heart is the door through which God will enter, but He will never force His way in. He will wait until you invite Him in. He will knock, and then He will wait for you to answer. Just ask Him in. He will come in if you invite Him in. This was God's plan from the very beginning when He sent His Son Jesus to earth to live and die for us. Through your belief and your faith in what God said He would do in the Old Testament, which was executed to perfection in the New Testament, God can be with you now. The God and Creator of the universe can be with you right now. But you must believe. Jesus came to earth to reveal who he is and to tell us how we can have a relationship with him. God is a single and eternal God, but he exists in the relationship of three persons: God the Father, God's Son, who is Jesus, and God's Holy Spirit. When the earth was created, all three were there. When mankind was created, all three were there. When Jesus ascended to heaven, approximately 40 days after he rose from the dead, he left behind his Spirit to live within us, to live within those who believe, so we will never be left alone. God has saved each of us, not because of what we have done or what we will or could do, but because of his mercy alone. It is through our faith and his mercy alone that we are saved. God in three persons, they all exist in perfect unity. This was all part of God's grand plan from the very beginning. You just simply have to believe. Whether you admit it or not, everyone has been created with a desire to know God. We have all been made to discover who God is and to find satisfaction and joy in him. This is the reason why we were born. He made us all so different, in vastly different cultures and different nations, so we might search for him and discover who he is. God's incredible creativity is clearly visible in everything that we see on earth, in the heavens above, and in the oceans below. Because of all that God has created, which we can see, we are without excuse in knowing who God is, for the heavens declare the glory of God. All human beings have been created to know God and to have the ability to discern that God exists through simple observation. Analyzing, observing, intuition, mathematics, sciences, and much more. God's purpose in making humans this way is to pique our interest, so we will want to ask and gather more information about him. God has placed eternity in your heart, which means that the longing that you have to understand who God is cannot be replaced by anything else. If you try to fill this longing with anything but God, you will be left with an empty feeling. This is why so many people continue to ask themselves, is this all there is to life? For many people, this is because they haven't invited God into their heart. God is knocking. Simply open your heart and let him in. He wants to share his unimaginable fortunes with you, but you must let him in. He can't reveal himself to you unless you let him in. Open your heart. Stop trying to figure things out all by yourself. Simply trust in God. God will make known to you the path of life. For God told us through his prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But never ever forget, there is a power in the world by the name of Satan who wishes to keep you away from learning who God is. Satan does not want you to learn about the wonderful powers and the love of God. Satan hates God so much that he wishes to destroy anything and everything that is made in the image of God, and that includes you. Satan's goal is to deceive you, confuse you, darken your understanding, corrupt your affections, cause your priorities to be turned upside down, which will, if you listen to him, render you so ineffectual that God himself may choose to distance himself from you. If we claim to be wise by denying the existence of God, we become fools, and worse, we become an enemy of the very God that we know exists in our heart. Remember, God's laws have been written in your heart. Through your free will, however, you will always have the option of denying God. That is an option that your loving Father has given you. If God demanded that you love him, then he could never have a relationship with you, a true one anyway. When you accept Jesus into your heart, you won't be able to get any closer to God because God will be within you. Through Jesus' death on the cross, you will have full access to God. If you accept Jesus and store up his commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will discover the knowledge of God. Many people have seen beautiful oriental rugs in stores. Many of the designs of these rugs are filled with beautiful colors, patterns, shapes. Some have meanings and relationships within the designs. Some have ornate borders. And when you look at these designs and beautiful rugs, all you can say is, wow. But have you ever looked at the bottom side of these rugs? It's a total mess. There are none of the qualities on the bottom side of these rugs that you see on the top. The strings and threads are a mess. All tangled, all mixed up, cut up, dangling, torn, and even ripped. There is nothing that resembles a design on the bottom, and there is nothing beautiful about it. What an incredible difference between the top and the bottom of these rugs. If you couldn't see both sides at the same time, you might not even believe it's the same rug. Now, just for a moment, imagine that one of these beautiful rugs is between us on earth and heaven. Well, guess which side we see. Yep, we see the crummy side. We see the mess. We see death, disease, heartache, injustice, broken relationships, and so much more. When God transferred authority of the earth over to Satan and Adam sinned, this is when our side of the rug became visible. But since God knew that Satan would rebel and Adam would sin, God knew that our side of the rug would be a mess until Satan was vanquished. You know, God would have made a huge mistake if he didn't know this would happen, but God never makes mistakes. So God's grand plan before Adam sinned included creating a rug with both sides bringing him glory. The very messy bottom of the rug, which is our world controlled by Satan, is actually a very important part of God's sovereign plan to manifest his glory. This means the bottom of the rug, which is earth, and the top of the rug, which is heaven, are both an important part of God's grand plan. Jesus is the thread through which the bottom of the rug and the top of the rug is knit together. In effect, Jesus is the fabric of God's grand plan. Without Jesus, we would be stuck on the bottom of the rug forever on the ugly side. Without Jesus, we would never see the top of the rug. Jesus gives us a free pass to the top of the rug, total free. There is nothing we must do to get there. Simply believe. Believe that the thread of God's design, Jesus, holds it all together, and that Jesus is our path to the top of the rug where we will see God's beautiful design. You know, as messy as the bottom of the rug is, which is the world in which we live, God provides a miracle for each of us as we live through trials and difficult times. When we have faith in God, he uses our difficulties and our suffering to strengthen our faith in him. Our trials and our suffering is the means by which our faith is proven. The very same trials that Satan puts us through to destroy us on the bottom of the rug, God uses for our deliverance in our preparation for his kingdom, the top of the rug. Well, unfortunately, we can't see God's side of the rug. Well, at least yet. This means we must have faith that the design on the top of the rug is as beautiful as God says it is. But even though we can't see God's design, he has given us many of his design notes. His notes, which are scattered throughout the Bible, give us a wonderful glimpse into what the top of the rug looks like. His notes say that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, and righteousness dwells. So, through his word, we have been given a wonderful glimpse of heaven. We won't see his beautiful design until we join him, but when we do see his side of the rug, it's going to be an awesome sight. That is when we will finally understand what God has been up to all these years. This is when we will see how our life, including all of our trials and difficult times that we've been put through, have been woven into his design on the top of the rug, with Jesus as the thread. God will allow us to be included in his beautiful design on the top through our faith in Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus is the thread and the fabric of God's beautiful design. Until we see God's design on the top of the rug, we must trust in God and have faith in him. On our messy bottom side of the rug, we must accept the fact that there will be death and illness and disease, injustice, and so much more. We must also understand that we will be attacked by the evil one who wishes to keep us from ever seeing the top of the rug. Satan wishes to keep us on the bottom of the rug where he is condemned for eternity. As we live our lives on the bottom of the rug, it's not always going to be pleasant or pretty or fun. We won't always understand why God is allowing trials and calamities in our life. But we must have faith that the difficulties that we are living through will be woven into his beautiful design. We must have faith that we will be with him in paradise no matter what we have done. If we believe in him, which is exactly what Jesus told one of the criminals hanging on the cross next to him. It is through our brokenness that we are drawn closer to God. It is through our brokenness that we learn that we can't make it through life without a Savior. It is through our brokenness that we learn that there is evil in the world, a force that cannot be ignored. It is only through Jesus that we can defeat sin, and it is only through Jesus that we can defeat Satan's influences in our life. We must always remember that in everything that happens in our life, God has a reason for driving the bus over that particular road. Sometimes bumpy, sometimes not. But all of our experiences, good and bad, they're all for our spiritual development. We now know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know, a lot of what we just discussed requires that you believe that God had a plan. Do you believe that God had a plan, or you just believe this is a really great story? What are you putting your faith in? Are you putting your faith in God and His Word, or are you putting your faith in the things that you see and hear in the world? Or maybe you're putting your faith in you. Maybe you is all you need. Maybe things are going so well for you that you don't need anything or anybody because you have everything under control and everything is in your control. You might even believe that there is no God. So why would you need any faith? That seems to work pretty well until someone close to you dies, or you fall off a ladder and become paralyzed, or you get cancer and have 2 months to live, or someone walks into your school and shoots one of your children. When these things happen, we are all wired to call out to God. It is the nature of our existence. Knowing there is a God is hardwired into our DNA. So here is another really important question for you. What are you going to do about all this important information? Are you going to ignore God or deny that He exists? Or will you take just a moment and try to find out more about Him? You can ignore God or deny Him all you want, but He will never ignore or deny you. God will continue to stand outside your door of your heart and wait for you to invite Him in. He will come in if you ask Him. Just ask. God's majestic design of the heavens and the earth are clearly evident to every one of us, so we are without excuse in knowing that He is for real. For the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, because we're only human, we tend to put our trust and our faith in things that we can see, not in things that we can't see. It is so much harder to believe in things that we can't see. We have probably all said at one time, "I'll believe it when I see it." Unfortunately, this is not how God operates. In fact, with God, it's just the opposite. With God, it is, you will see it when you believe it. This is all about trust. When we have a close friend that we know really well, he has probably earned our trust. This gives us faith that he will do what he says he will do. It's no different with God. To trust God, we need to understand him really well. And to know him, we need to read his instruction manual. His instruction manual says that he cares for those who trust him. Well, aren't you in luck? God would like to spend time with you as well. You know, God says in Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you," declares the Lord. When you put your trust in God, the weight of the world will be lifted off your shoulders. Having trust in God requires faith, and having faith in God is critical because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God will only reward those who earnestly seek Him. We need to study His Word and have confidence in Him and to hear Him speak to us. When you spend time reading His Word, it will help strengthen your faith in Him. And when you believe in Him, that is when He will start answering your prayers. At that point, He will help you make your decisions based on what He is leading you to do. When we think about this level of trust, we oftentimes say to ourselves, "I can't do that. That's too difficult. How can I put my trust in something I can't see?" You know, this is a very common feeling for a lot of people, and it's a common roadblock to understanding who God is. But wouldn't you know, God has a solution for you. When you accept Jesus into your heart, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, takes up residence in your heart. And because the Holy Spirit knows you better than you know yourself, He will give you all that you need, including understanding, patience, and kindness. The Holy Spirit will help you trust in and have stronger faith in God. The Holy Spirit will help you catch you when you stumble. And the Holy Spirit will help you succeed where you would otherwise fail. Well, you might be saying to yourself, wow, that will take a lot of faith, or that will take a miracle. Well, the good news is the miracle is available to you. You simply need to accept Him into your heart. Open the door of your heart and let Him in. It is only when you let Him in that He can reveal Himself to you. Most of us are willing to put our trust in almost anything but God. We can trust a spouse, a friend, a boss, a doctor, maybe a relative, but God? No way. That's way too risky. How can I possibly trust in something I can't see? Well, Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." It is when we lean on our own understanding that we get ourselves in trouble. Have you ever felt like you are in an endless loop within a certain problem or situation in your life? Maybe you feel like you are living through the same bad circumstance or bad situation over and over again. Well, you might be. And Satan absolutely loves it when you are stuck in that kind of loop, because it means you aren't getting any closer to God. Receiving what God wants you to have depends on being connected with Him. If you submit to Him and have faith in Him, He promises to make your path straight. His straight path will help you get out of the recurring problems in your life. But here's the real truth. Having true faith in God may require you to abandon nearly everything you have ever seen, felt, heard, and maybe even believed in regarding what you think is right and what you think will bring you happiness. Are you ready for this type of change? Much of what you have ever thought in the past has been a lie anyway, from you know who. Has Satan led you down the primrose path? Probably not. Well, then change. It will make your life so much easier. The secret is trusting in God in everything that you do, in every major decision that you make. Not trusting in your own understanding, being still and listening for His voice, not being afraid, not being anxious, valuing others above yourself, observing His commands, relying on God when you're in trouble, loving Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, so the Holy Spirit can teach you all things and give you the desires of your heart. If you do this, God will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He will give you an abundance in all things. Are you ready? If your answer is yes, here's how. End of chapter 4.